You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Welcome into the latest edition of ESPN FC. I'm Dan Thomas, joined by Ali Moreno. We're not starting the show with Cristiano Ronaldo, would you believe it?
Yes. Oh, yeah.
And we hate him so much, we're going to start with Lionel Messi.
Hey!
Who scored a lovely goal, by the way,
yeah,
in their 5-0 victory over United Arab Emirates. Di Maria, miraculously, after not playing for Juventus for a month, is fit and very much involved. Beautiful volley from him as he got a brace. Very impressive. Performance once again from Argentina, as they have been, of course, in this incredible unbeaten run, which is now extended to 36 matches. For more on this, let's welcome in Joey, former international with Argentina. Pablo Zabaleta is with us. Pablo, your boys are looking good.
Looking really good. You could really see all the goals and then some of the players performing really well. They're in a good form. It looks like, you know, the atmosphere around the team has been fantastic. And as I say, of course, that's invites all of us Argentinians to dream and hopefully we can see Argentina winning the World Cup. It's not going to be easy, of course. We have to respect the other teams. World Cup are really tough, but... the team been playing really good football. So
can you see the smile?
Yeah, yeah. really looking forward to the World Cup.
I can see the smile.
Can you see Pablo's smile?
We've got to respect everyone. We've got to show everybody.
There's a smirk. There's a certainty.
No, because hey guys, we need humility. We need humility. We yes. know the Argentinians yeah. when we are 36 game unbeaten, we are the best.
Yeah.
You know? So calm down. You know, just feet on the ground. Be humble, respect the others, and then we go from there.
What are the expectations in Argentina for this side to go all the way and to win it, Pablo?
Well, of course, everyone is very positive about that Argentinian team. We know that we have good players, a good team. Many people saying that Argentina is one of the favorites. Coming from players that will be at the World Cup, which is something good. And because I say that, all the players at their respective club, they've been playing some regular games. And I think, you know, they will be physically in a really good conditions. We have so much quality in that team. Messi is still the main man, but I think... that Argentinian side rely less on Messi than before, and you know, Di Maria shining, De Paul, Julian Alvarez, we have Lautaro Martinez, Lisandro Martinez at the back. That defense look rock solid as well. So I don't know, really good team, Argentina.
How big would the celebration be regarding Messi if Argentina would win the World Cup this time round, Pablo?
Oof. That would be amazing. I mean, if Messi can lift one of the greatest trophy in football, that, of course, would be fantastic. I see so many people that they know Argentinians, but just saying that they will support Argentina the World Cup because of Messi, because they want to see Messi win in the World Cup. And we all know how much it means for Leo playing probably his last World Cup. He won absolutely everything at club level. So he won Copa America a few years ago. And of course, after that, after losing the World Cup final in Brazil 2014, that would be... a revenge for Messi to go to Qatar and have the chance of winning.
Pablo, I think it's the last time you're with us before the World Cup kicks off, so I wanted to talk to you about your World Cup experience. Am I right in thinking you only went to one, is that right?
Yes, yeah, only Brazil, 2014.
That surprised me. That was 2014. Why were you not called up for previous ones? No, I don't know. No, I'm not being an, idiot. I'm intrigued.
Yeah. Well, no, just because, I don't know. I was playing in 2010 in South Africa. I was playing for Man City. I was playing well. I was only 24. I was at my prime, but Maradona, I was called up for the last two qualifier games against Peru and Uruguay. And we needed to win these two games to qualify for the World Cup. But my last game playing for Man City away from home against Aston Villa, I pulled my hamstring. I flew back to Argentina. I did my scan and it was very small tear on my hamstring, and Maradona was fuming about it. So I've not been for the, I didn't make the last, the World Cup list for the World Cup. So it was a shame because I thought I could have been, had a good experience to be in South Africa.
Yeah. Am I right? Was that the one of the first time you met Maradona, Pablo? So you're meeting like your idol, this incredible player, and he's shouting at you for getting injured against Aston Villa.
Well, but you know, Diego, he was a bit like that, and he was the manager at that time of the national team, and it was a very difficult time for him. It was so much pressure on him and the national team, because we needed to get 6 points to qualify for the World Cup, and so many things going around his head, and he was very upset with me because he asked me not to play against Aston Villa on a Monday night because the game against Peru was on Friday. And it was very short time to recover for that game, because we all know that to fly to Argentina, it takes more than 18 hours fly. And he was a bit worried because I was the only right back in the list. So, but I say, I cannot tell Mark Hughes that I don't want to play for my team.
Just get Maradona to tell him.
I was only 23. You know, I cannot go to the manager and say, boss, I don't want to play on Monday night against Aston Villa because I want to be 100% fit for the game on Friday. When you play for your club, you have to respect your club and play every single game. And then it was unlucky that I just felt something in my hamstring after 92 minutes. But it was at least something that I couldn't be able to play on Friday against Peru at home. And Maradona was a bit angry with me. But, well, you know, those so experiences that sometimes you have in football.
Yeah, then you fast forward 4 years, and obviously you're called up then. What's that moment like when you know you're going?
Well, of course, that was something that made me feel so happy to be in the World Cup list. Because I think when you're playing football, one of your dreams is to have the experience of being in a World Cup. And I have to say I've been very lucky because we played 7 games. I played all the games as well. And I can say that I'm of the few players that have been lucky enough to be involved in a World Cup final. That is not for many players, and that's why being at the Maracanã singing the Argentinian anthem in front of so many fans at that time, it's been a wonderful experience. One of my, even if we lost against Germany, that game, I have to say that was one of my greatest experience in football, of course.
Maybe we could do a whole show and just talk about that whole World Cup, because so much happened. Before we get to the final, Pablo, where did you watch the Brazil-Germany game?
We were at the hotel. We only watched the first half because we needed to go for training, and we were in the bus going into the training ground, and we couldn't believe it. You know, that was something incredible. We were really surprised about this because you can expect that Germany could beat Brazil, but not 7-1. And that was surely for Brazilian player, it was a very tough day. And after that game, everyone thought Germany will score 7 against us as well in the final. I have to say that we played a really good game defensively, been really solid. We missed 3 really clear chances that, so in a game that close, that's small details make the difference. And we probably had the best chance of that game. We couldn't score.
Yeah, you think of that final, you think the Higuain chance, don't you, Pablo? Like, what's it like in the locker room afterwards? Like, what's he like? Because he knows, obviously, he will be the one where everyone kind of point the finger at.
Yeah, well, but listen, we all can miss clear chances in a game. It's been a very difficult time for Higuain after that, because then we lost 2 consecutive Copa Americas as well against Chile. He missed the penalty, and it's been hard for Higuain again, because these days for the football player, if you miss a good chance in an important game, then on social media and I know that you get so much abuse, and it's very difficult. But of course, the whole team, we've been with him, those things can happen in football. So many great players in football missed penalties in important games. It happened in football. You just need to accept it and move on. But of course, you always need to support your teammates at very difficult time, because it's not easy for it wasn't easy for Higuain at that time.
Do you swap everything you want at Manchester City for that goal to go in and you win the World Cup?
Sorry, but what do you mean, Dan?
So you won the Premier League, obviously, at City. Would you exchange that for a World Cup win to win that final?
I think winning the World Cup for your country would be something amazing, probably the best thing that can happen for a football player. But also, when you're playing for your club, and for me, the experience of winning the first Premier League medal, it was something that's been really, really good as well. I have to say, probably, yes, I wish we have won that World Cup. Because you're representing your country, when you're playing for your country, it's something very pure, something that you've been doing for so many years, but with the people of your country, with the people that you grew up and all that, it's special. It's different when you're playing for your country. But then at the club level, you also enjoy every single moment, and for me, winning the Premier League was.
You said you hate them. You said basically, really, really club good. Legend Pablo Zabaleta turns his back on Manchester City and wish he won the World Cup. That's it. That's what I was hearing.
Hey, at a different scale, I would trade all my MLS medals, all my MLS rings,
all your children.
You get out. Not even to win the World Cup, but to have the opportunity to play in the World
Cup.
When Pablo was talking about how Argentina needed to win those 2 matches,
yes, yeah,
going into the 2010 World Cup to have the opportunity to qualify. Well, the team that they were competing against was none other than this guy.
Wow.
So, and here was the thought process for us. If Argentina doesn't get the result against Peru, they're going to be under pressure. And we play against Brazil the last game. We win at home against Paraguay. We go to Brazil, and it's now in the hands of Brazil for keeping Argentina out of the World Cup.
Right.
So the idea was, we win against Paraguay, they don't get the result against Peru, and Brazil says, all right, you do what you do, you qualify to the World Cup, Argentina are out. Palermo gets a lucky touch, center forward for Argentina time, lucky touch, lucky deflection, they end up beating Peru, we lose to Paraguay, we missed a penalty, and guess what, we actually went to Brazil and got a result against Brazil, but they ended up beating Uruguay, and then they went through.
Wow.
Sliding doors, baby.
There we go.
Sliding doors. But I would trade everything for the opportunity to be in a World Cup.
Right, we kind of went off tangent a little bit there.
Yes, yeah, we did.
Let's go focus back, shall we, on the World Cup this time round. Pablo, let's take a look at your picks, shall we? Starting off with the group stages. Let's see, any surprises here? Any standout? No, nothing in particular that is against the grain particularly. So let's take it straight through, shall we, to the knockout stages. And it's the Dutch against the USA. Who have you got going through, Pablo? Do you remember?
Netherlands, of course.
The Dutch.
I was just looking at the picture and thinking, you know, how hard is it to make a World Cup prediction, mate?
Hey, that's all right. So you've got Dutch against Argentina, Spain, look, they're hurrying you up. Spain against Brazil, then, with Brazil, Britain, Uruguay. Then Argentina, Brazil, semi-final. We'll get to the result of that in a moment. Let's take it to the flip side. England, Ecuador. Obviously, England are going to win that. France against Mexico. We'll see England take on France. Germany against Portugal. A lot of people have got that, haven't they, as the quarterfinals. We take it to the semi-final. It will be France against Portugal. So let's take it to the bracket then. Brazil against Argentina. Mm. Who've you got, Pablo? Here we go.
Let me see.
Yep, here we go. Oh,
hey!
There it is. Oh my, it's been Messi Ronaldo final.
Oh,
wow.
What a story.
And then who will win it all, Pablo?
Oh, hey, let's see.
What a story that would be. Hey, no, but listen. Imagine two of the greatest players of this generation in a World Cup final. In the last World Cup final as well, you know.
Otamendi and Pepe.
That would be simply...
100 years of football on your screen.
Love it. I can't wait for it.
Good stuff, Pablo. Thank you very much.
We'll see. That would be a great story.
Have a safe trip to the World Cup. Enjoy it. Good luck to Argentina. Just a reminder, we have compiled the list. The top 50 players who will be at the World Cup.
Did you participate?
I forgot.
Oh, thank you, Dan.
Still in the form. Kylian Mbappe, Benzema, De Bruyne, Messi, Lewandowski make up the top five. Was that your top five, Ami?
That was not my top five, but I did participate.
Right. Who was your top five? Do you remember?
I remember Messi was number one.
Hey! There it is. No place for Ronaldo in the top 10, obviously. We'll be discussing that in more detail, plus it's Shaka's power rankings on the next edition of the show, so be sure to join us.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at lectricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's lectricebikes.com.
I'm not sure if you heard, but Ronaldo did a little interview this week.
What?
We've, of course, discussed at length over the last couple of days. The newspapers, of course, continue to get a lot of mileage out of it, talking in particular about Manchester United and his lack of future at the club. This is what Varane had to say about the possibility of him leaving. He says, obviously it affects us. We follow what is happening and what is being said. And then what about this? Do you see this? This, of course, went viral today at Old Trafford.
Talk
about turning the page.
Oh.
They are taking down the picture of Cristiano Ronaldo. The legacy definitely very much tainted after this interview. Well, Pablo is still with us. We also welcome to the show as well. Mario Malki joins us. Mario, first off, I just got to get start with you. Do you have any sympathy for Ronaldo?
I have the sympathy of the footballer and the achievement of him. But, you know, being like this, we've been all ex-players. We've been in situations like that. The only thing is that then you're never going to win. You're never going to beat a football team. It doesn't matter who you are, what you have achieved, and what you have become. And I think also what it comes down now, Ronaldo was so clever. he did the thing of football way ahead of everybody. You know, he was focused on the fitness, his thinking, his preparation and everything. And now I feel like he comes in a situation now, and I felt like, where is the Ronaldo that always prepped so well for whatever it is? So the only thing for me would be, Ronaldo knew what he was doing because he wants to get out of it. That could only be the answer for me, because if not, I would say, like, why would you get yourself in a situation like that when you achieve so much?
But the problem is, Mario, it doesn't guarantee that he's out because he needs somebody to come and get him.
No. And that's also the situation, because look, you also, like, you ask me now that someone's going to get him, but you're also going to have clubs. Like you said, who wants to be in a situation like that? Having a player like that will be able to do this kind of stuff. Because guys, any other player, if it would be me, if I would open my mouth like Ronaldo, it will not be so many big headlines. But if Ronaldo talks, we all know what's going to happen. You know, everybody talks about it. Everybody jumps on it. He knew that as well. So now it's going to come down. It's like either he must have a plan B, because if he doesn't have that, it could be something that he didn't see coming. But I cannot imagine that, because then I would be like, where's the Ronaldo that I mean, what the kid did from when I played against him to what he achieved? I'm like, you could think to get to there. And now you don't want to tell me that you're not thinking about it anymore? No. His team must be thinking about something.
Many people say that Cristiano Ronaldo is the Pablo Zabaleta.
Oh.
As he was at Manchester City. He's on that sort of pedestal by United fans.
What?
And Pablo, he is now pretty much... You know how much that City loved Ronaldo and were so proud of what he achieved, not only at United, but they watched him then grow at Real Madrid as well. And this just feels like he's burning all the bridges unnecessarily.
Absolutely, Dan. Cristiano should never be given that interview. He has a legacy at Manchester United. He's a legend of this football club. And a legend will never disrespect his football club. And... I don't know, it's hard to see being Cristiano in that situation. I know it's a little bit frustrated maybe for him because of his lack of playing and all that, but you have to respect your teammate. You have to respect Ten Hag, and you have to respect his tactics. You might like him or not, but you have to respect. Nobody is more important than the club, and the whole situation being a real mess. But of course, with that interview all being said by Cristiano, it's not... He's not good, and obviously his reputation now is not good. Dan, he's, I don't know. I wish I was the Cristiano Ronaldo of Man City. Thank you for that. But as I say, you know, we are all in those moments when you come into an end of your career, and you know, you have to accept that sometimes when you are not at your best anymore, you have to respect your teammates, as I said before. And you have to respect your club, and you need to help the club to get better. And that's unfortunately was not what Cristiano is doing at the moment.
Pablo, it's interesting you mentioned Manchester City, which he brought up, of course, in the interview, saying he was very close to making that move. They were very interested in him. In the end, his heart, Sir Alex Ferguson, etc., led him back to Manchester United. Was that a bullet dodge then by City, or do you think Guardiola would have handled this all completely differently?
I'm happy that he never went to Man City, simply because he's a Manchester United legend, and I think Man City, if you look at the last 10 years, they have been having great players like Vincent Kompany, Sergio Aguero, and David Silva. They all left as a legend because in the way that they behave at the club. But I think we all know how good Cristiano is as a player, but I think Pep Guardiola always been thinking more about the whole team rather than a single player. If you look at the team as well, Gabriel Jesus was there. They knew they needed to replace Sergio Aguero. They found, Erling Haaland as a good replacement because he's been doing really well. And I'm happy for that. I'm pleased that Cristiano went to Manchester United. And I think all Man City fans, all the people that we are from the other side of the city, we are really enjoying it, that moment.
It's interesting. Mario said before, Pablo, when Ronaldo speaks, it's always going to make headlines. There's only really one other player that could do that, and that's, of course, Lionel Messi. How would the Argentinian squad treat him if he did something similar just before the World Cup? How would you deal with that?
But if you look at Bernardo Silva, João Mario, Cancelo, all the players from the national team, from Portugal, they've been talking really good things about Cristiano in the last 2 years, two days. I mean, I think he has the support from his teammates, from the national team. They all know that they have a big chance at the World Cup. You never know. We see when Bruno Fernandes came into the dressing room and they shook hands with Cristiano and they didn't face to each other, I don't know. But you never know unless you are inside of the dressing room. But from my point of view and from outside, I think everyone is behind Cristiano Ronaldo. They support him. They want the best for Cristiano at the national team. That will be completely different at Manchester United after the World Cup. As Baran say, that's in some way it will affect Manchester United players.
It's interesting you mentioned the incident with Bruno Fernandes. We talked about that yesterday and the incident with Cancelo as well. We've got more of the extended video now of what happened, which led up to Cristiano Ronaldo shaking Cancelo. This is the challenge here that we saw, and then Cancelo getting angry, kicking the ball away with João Félix, and then Ronaldo comes over and kind of does this to him after that incident. So just to put that into context, a lot of people were shouting at me saying that we were biased and not showing the full footage. Well, we've only now got the full footage to show you what happened. Although, even if I'm in a bad mood, I don't think I want Cristiano Ronaldo shaking my neck. I don't think that particularly would help things.
You think you don't feel that that's a way to best way to deal with it? No, not quite. You know, this is I think Mario's asking me to go grab your neck.
Yeah, don't, please don't.
I don't think.
No. It's in my contract, Alex.
Yes, let's keep it respectful. You do know, and actually, I think you understand this quite well in the way that you handle this show every day. This is about power when it comes to Cristiano Ronaldo.
Okay. I was expecting a compliment then. It never came.
No. This is about power. And the fact that he no longer has that power at Manchester United, which he never thought would have happened. The fact that power is now in somebody else's hands. That control is in somebody else's hands. It used to be that whatever Cristiano Ronaldo wanted to do, he would do, at whatever club he was. That he was the one calling the shots, even if he wasn't the manager, even if he wasn't in the decision-making position, he had the power because of what he represented and what he was as a player on the field. That's no longer the case. And so decisions are made about him, around him, for him, and he no longer is in a position in which he can affect those decisions. That's the part that really frustrates Cristiano Ronaldo. This is an attempt by Cristiano Ronaldo on somehow controlling the narrative, regaining the power, making it about himself, and once again feeling the center of attention within the story, which he hasn't been for Manchester United now for, I would suggest, the last 6 months or so. It's a failed attempt. It's the wrong way to go about it. And now he has created a story that is even bigger than Cristiano Ronaldo, because it will affect not only Manchester United, but it will affect the conversation surrounding Portugal. We're talking about Portugal not because of what we think that João Félix is going to do or not going to do, or what João Cancelo is going to do or not going to do. We're talking about Portugal and João Cancelo because of how Ronaldo grabbed his neck. That's the story now. Instead of whatever Portugal is going to do in the World Cup, is how will Ronaldo impact Portugal?
It was always going to be the Ronaldo show. It always has been, isn't it? João Mario said yesterday, everyone always asks us, first question is about Ronaldo generally anyway. So is this really a big difference to them?
Well, yes, there is a big difference, because the question used to be, how is Ronaldo going to help you win a World Cup? Now is Ronaldo good enough to help you win a World Cup? And does this interview now affect what you do in the World Cup? It changes the narrative and it changes the feeling around the camp. Now, I think Portugal will be okay. I think Portugal will not be affected in the long run. But if something does go wrong the first game, guess what the conversation is going to go back to? And if Cristiano Ronaldo doesn't play well, guess what the conversation is going to go back to? You have created an issue here that did not need to be created, certainly leading into a World Cup. And certainly, once the World Cup is finished, and this is another thing, the World Cup will end at some point, and Cristiano Ronaldo, contractually, will have to go back to Manchester United. And so at that point, what happens? He has created a rift here that is going to affect everything that he does from here on out.
Thank you very much, Ali.
Yeah.
It's
a power.
Extra
power.
Time is about
power, Dan.
Over on our YouTube channel. As always, we stay late to answer your tweets.
That wasn't
sure
a compliment.
To check it out. Get off my neck. We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't a search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. Germany continuing their preparations for the start of the World Cup. Their opener is against Japan. They were taking on Oman in a friendly. Not much happened in this game, really. Here we go. 8 minutes after the break. Chance here.
And still O'Kara who gets on the header initially. Then there's a ball back to him. Sliding attempt. Goalkeeper makes a save. Ooh. Just off the line. Still 0-0.
It could have actually been 1-0 to Oman. Good chance here for Al-Ghassani.
Oh, it should have been 1-0. Very passive defending from Germany. People late getting back. He is wide open, all sorts of time and space. Can't quite get the finish.
There would just be the one goal in the game, and it would come with 10 minutes to go. Fulkrug with the finish.
Nicholas Fulkrug. The much discussed Nicholas Fulkrug, by the way. Is he going to be the answer in the attacking half for Germany as a center forward? We'll see.
Well, it finished Germany 1, Oman 0 then. And someone who maybe have that answer for you, Ali, that you are demanding, is Archie Rintat, who joins us now. Archie, looking at it, how close is the starting 11 that we saw today will be that to the one that will take on Japan next week?
Lots of players missing, lots of key players missing. The central defensive pairing, I would imagine, will be Antonio Rudiger and Nicolas Zula, not Matthias Ginter and Tilo Kehrer. Tilo Kehrer, who has played the most minutes under Hansi Flick, I'd expect to start at right back as it stands, which I don't think is the most encouraging thing. I think the best option for Germany might be for Joshua Kimmich to suck it up and play there for them, but I expect him to be installed very firmly at the heart of that midfield, and then one of Leon Goretzka and Ilkay Gundogan to play. Then, of course, you've got the main man of the moment, Jamal Musiala. He has to play right now, as is being said by many in Germany. Plus, I'd expect Kai Havertz to be probably playing in that number nine position, even if Niklas Füllkrug did score today. Serge Gnabry as well on top of that. So, yeah, some key names missing, I would say, from that team. And I think it was mostly about trying to give some experience to someone like Youssoufa Moukoko. That was his first cap today, hit the post as well at the end of the first half, along with just trying to get the wheels rolling again. Particularly playing in that kind of heat is not something that these players have done in a while, at least in Europe. So, yeah, I think that whilst it wasn't all that encouraging what Germany showed, I think that they can write this off as, well, at least you have this performance now from players who may not be involved all the time during the tournament rather than in that first game against Japan.
to Owen Hargreaves had to say about him. Every player is different, but Musiala is really unique. The first time I saw him play immediately reminded me of Kaká, the way he moves, how silky he is on the ball, how good he dribbles. Meanwhile, as Mateus said, every coach has his favourite player. For Van Gaal, the motto was Müller must always play. For me, Musiala should always play. How big is the buzz around this player going into the World Cup, Archie?
Huge, as you saw there from a legend of the game such as Lothar Matthäus. He has said that multiple times this season, by the way, as well. And you saw it just in the little clips that we had there as well, the sorts of things that Jamal Musiala does so well, how even despite having quite a slight frame, he's able to ride tackles with such ease. But also, I look back to that first goal that he scored in an empty stadium back in 2020 against Schalke. That was the eighth goal in an 8-0 win against Schalke. And Jamal Musiala confidently went up to the camera and gave it his whole M sign that he does whenever he scores. And you're wondering, okay, that's quite a lot of confidence to go up and do your celebration when you've just scored the eighth in an 8-0 win, when who cares? And you're just wondering, who is this guy? And then just more and more so, he has played his way into the team. And to the point where this season, he has had to be the first name on the team sheet because he is the one coming up with the moments of magic on so many different occasions. Just the flair that this guy has going. And on a technical level, Julian Nagelsmann, Bayern coach, told us in interviews with ESPN earlier this season that the way that he's able to dribble off both feet, the way he's able to lead with his left or his right foot, makes him really difficult for defenders to work out where he's going. And it's players like Jamal Musiala that really, I think, make you excited when you're watching games. These players who are not afraid to take on their opponent. And there's been a lot of complaints in Germany and wondering aloud about how too often the play can be too predictable. It is, at the best, good passing combinations. But I think that Jamal Musiala is the real antidote to that, because with just kind of a wave of the wand and his dribbling skills, he's able to snake past his opponent.
Will he be able to snake them all the way to the World Cup final? Let's take a look, shall we, at Archie's picks as he tells us who is going to win it all. We'll start off, as always, with the group stages. This is where I scan quickly. And Qatar to go through is an interesting one, Archie.
Mm-hmm. I think you look at the amount of time that they've taken off from their league before the tournament to prepare for this. The last real example of this, I think, in World Cup history that you've had was in 2002 with what South Korea did and how they had we're talking about months to prepare for the tournament. And I'm wondering if that could just give them a bit of an edge. Home advantage always does seem to play a role. And I think that particularly a Mane-less Senegal, as it looks like, witch doctor pending, then Qatar will, at least make it through the first round.
And the US not to go out the group as well, aren't you? Oh, they'll be angry. Wow. They'll be angry.
Wow.
Right, let's take a look then. The Dutch to take on Wales. I imagine you have the Dutch going through there. Argentina to advance against France. Why France there? What happened to them? Did they finish second in their group, Archie?
The French people that I've been talking to, they're telling me that things are not good right now and that, we maybe shouldn't be expecting too much from them in the current shape that they're in. Mm, and I trust those people.
Wow. Mm. Not Jules. Jules says they're going to win all.
So we don't trust Jules.
Of course he does.
Archie hates Jules. That's what I'm hearing.
What?
England against Qatar. Are Qatar there to go through as they've been preparing?
Oh, no! England!
Not many have got England going very far on this competition. England take on Denmark, of course. Frank's winners.
Oh,
it's the same page as Frank Leboeuf. Denmark to make it through to the semi-finals then to take on Belgium, who you've got going a long way. Germany out. God, there's so much to discuss here, right? Argentina-Brazil. Argentina-Brazil. Who have you got going through here, Archie? Brazil. Belgium to beat Denmark. And then who's winning the final, Archie?
I've got Brazil. Brazil.
Right, can we go? Let's go back to anti-German boy living in Germany.
What?
What's going on, Archie?
Controversy.
You got them knocked out, the round of 16?
No, I have... yeah, I had them getting knocked out in the round of 16. I think that ultimately their problem is on the counter-attack right now. Rest verteidigung is the way that they sum up in Germany. Thank you. It's what they define as your structure when you are being counter-attacked. And I think that is something that Germany will be tested with dearly in the group stage. And I just wonder when they come up against perhaps a more clinical opponent as well in the form of Belgium, not just Spain, that they're obviously facing in the group stage, whether that might be the end of them. I think that, sure, Jamal Musiala is in great form, but I just wonder about the defense of this team, particularly the way that Borussia Dortmund have been playing in recent weeks. And yes, Niklas Süle has been marginally better than Nico Schlotterbeck, who would expect to be the first reserve for them right now. But yeah, I think there are question marks there. David Raum going forward impresses me. At the back, he is not the one-man defensive mop that Alphonso Davies was to Hansi Flick's system at Bayern, and indeed what he could really do with here in this Germany team. So yeah, I expect them to just about get through the group, but maybe not go too much further this time.
And then how big an England supporter are you, Archie? Are you full kit, shorts, socks, shin pads, wandering around?
Look, as you can see, I picked Denmark to beat them. Denmark are my surprise team of the tournament. Watch out for my boy, Jesper Lindstrom. He has been doing bits, Dan, in the Bundesliga in recent weeks. And I think that he could be a real star of the tournament. He has Musiala-esque dribbling abilities, but also just some of the flicks going forward. I like a lot of that. As for my England fanship tendencies, look, if England end up playing Germany, then I'm all for it. Yes. Otherwise, let's see, because you've got to wind up the locals. They do think quite highly of themselves a lot of the time.
So, wow. Yeah. Try working with Ali. That is it.
What?
Thank you very much.
What?
Cheers, Archie. Here it is then in all its glory. Everybody's picks so far as who's going to win it all. Ian Dark, Pablo Zavaleta, the exceptions to the Brazilian rule, both going for Argentina. Frank, of course, going for Denmark. Jules thinks everything's fine in the French camp. Don't worry, France is going to go all the way. But where's Ali Moreno's predictions? You'll have to wait for tomorrow.
Wow. The drama, the build-up.
Passion, drive and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights and more. Whether you're into speed, power or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Poland in action against Chile ahead of the World Cup. Robin Lewandowski had watched this from the bench. Wouldn't feature in the tie. That would see Poland win by 1-0.
It's a very Piątek goal here. Ball just bounces off the goalkeeper.
Yep.
Piątek gets on the rebound, off the post and in. 1-0.
And there is Robert Lewandowski, who of course got sent off in Barca's last La Liga game for the second yellow card here.
Aha.
The Spanish Federation came together today and announced that he will be banned for 3 games.
Yeah.
The offensive gesture after the
red card. They didn't like it, apparently.
Yeah, the gesture there.
Oh, that
naughty,
one.
Naughty. Yeah. Naughty. Okay. Naughty.
Maybe he was saying he was smelly.
He got two games for that. Barcelona will appeal. They, of course, go into the break 2 points clear at the top of the table. Meanwhile, it wasn't just Robert Lewandowski who they came down and decided needed a match ban, but also Gerard Piqué.
Oh, wait a minute.
What? So he has been banned for 4 games in case he decides that he doesn't like retirement.
I mean, what is the point?
Well,
so if he were to come back, then he couldn't play for 4 games.
He couldn't play for 4 games, so you'd probably delay your comeback
quite a while.
Don't announce it for a while. What a way. New Year's Eve.
Hey.
La Liga is back without Gerard Piqué or Robert Lewandowski. Be sure to join us.
I'll be here.
I'll be here as well.
You sure?
Of course.
Okay.
On ESPN Plus. The US are evens to advance the knockout stages of the World Cup. Second favourites behind England. Sam Borden, of course, is following them throughout the tournament. Today was all about the press conference with Christian Pulisic.
How do you balance the difference between wanting to treat it like another game, not getting too excited, but also embracing the moment? How do you allow yourself to think this is the World Cup, or do you really just think of it as like, this is another game I have to perform?
I think you're absolutely allowed to be excited that it's a World Cup. I think, maybe it adds a bit more pressure. It adds a bit more of those, you know, just that anxiety and you know, that feeling going into the game. But I think now that we're here, we're just taking it all in and appreciating, you know, the moment. But when it comes down to preparation for the match and the way that we train, the way that we, you know, have our meetings together and communicate as a team, we treat it as a normal game. But like I said, we're allowed to be excited and, you know, playing our first World Cup, it's not something that everyone gets to do.
Not only Sam Borden in Qatar, but also...
No.
Seven Herc.
Yeah. Wow.
Like it or not, they are there. Football America's well worth a watch, of course, throughout the tournament. No punches pulled, I'm sure, from the boys. That is it. That brings us to the end of today's show. We will be back tomorrow for more Ali's picks, of course, for the World Cup. Very exciting. But what's more exciting, of course, it's that Pablo and Mario both are back for extra time, which is next.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Welcome in then to the latest edition of Extra Time. Thank you, as always, for your questions. Ali Moreno with us here in the studio. I was talking before with Mario, asking if you're going to the World Cup, Mario, but no, you're in Amsterdam at the moment.
And I'm staying here in the cold weather, my friend.
Nice, very nice. I went to Amsterdam on my 21st birthday.
And how did that go, Dan?
Lovely, lovely time.
Yeah?
Everyone had a lovely time.
You remember it?
Yes, of course.
Okay.
Pablo with us as well. Pablo, you're going when to the World Cup?
I'm going this Saturday to Qatar, Doha, so...
yes, I know where the World Cup
really
is, Pablo, thank you.
Just a reminder, you never know.
And then are you staying as long as Argentina stay? Is that the plan?
Sorry, say again, Dan?
Are you staying for as long as Argentina are in the competition?
Well, that's the plan. Hopefully 4 weeks. I don't know. I have my fly to Barcelona on the 19th of December. Right. So hopefully, fingers crossed that we stay there until. I'm very optimistic. Yeah, you know that.
Oh, that's very. You can't hide that from the family, though, if they get knocked out the group stages. No, I've got to stay. Okay, for Pablo, what would you say is Argentina's biggest weakness heading into the World Cup?
Oh. I don't know, 36 games without defeat. Well, I don't know if I can find so weakness for that team at the moment.
Yeah, but your qualifying's easy.
No, well, okay. It's not as competitive as in Europe, but it's not an easy time. Come on, then. But we beat Italy, the champion of European football a year ago as well. So. I mean, I don't think
he understood your sarcasm, Dan.
That's all right.
I understood. I understood. But I don't know. I would say, attacking really good. We have good players up front. Maybe defensively, both right backs and left back are probably, I don't know, the weakness of that team, because we're not sure if Montiel or Molina will be the starting, and we don't know if Tagliafico or Acuña will be there. I'm not sure about who will be the starter. The starter on that on both sides. That's probably my only concern. But the team has been in a really good run, so I cannot find a proper weakness.
Oh. You know what I heard there?
Sorry, I cannot answer properly the question. I cannot answer it properly.
I heard there is, if I were the right back, yes, there wouldn't be a weakness. Yeah, no. That's pretty much what I heard.
I think so.
I'm just.
Isn't Otamendi your centre back, Pablo? Isn't he like 75?
No, Otamendi's a centre back, and. He's three years younger than me. I think he's 34 or 35, something like that. But still performing really well at Benfica. Eh? He's been playing in all the games. Benfica qualified for the next round of the Champions League, being one of the greatest players for Benfica. So every player of that Argentina squad been in a really good form in the last 3-4 months, which is a really good news for us.
Mario, who wins a race at the moment, you or Otamendi?
Me or Otamendi? You know what? Hey, I will give it to Otamendi. You know what I will give it to him? You always have to remember, eh? when you put your boots away, it's very difficult to put them back on. So already from that, he would race me, he would beat me. But away from that, if the oil was still in the legs, oh man, I'll take him off for a run for sure.
Yeah, I think most people would. For Mario, how important is it that Frenkie has a good World Cup for the Dutch to have any chance? He has been outstanding this season whenever he starts or coming off the bench.
Look, Louis van Gaal made it clear. You know, he said about his team, he said, there are three, like, kind of like the two players. He had Frenkie de Jong and Depay. He said, look, whatever happens to them when they were injured or they didn't feel good, he said, I will give them that kind of the special treatment, because I will wait for them, because we will not find a better midfielder than Frenkie at his position and Depay at his position. So having said that, that means how important they are for the team. He selected the team in the sense of like every individual had to fit in his team thinking. And that's why he picked those guys, and that's why Frenkie's very key. He's so intelligent, the way he plays, and he takes a lot of risk. If everything works out well, he can definitely be the rainbow of the team.
Gentlemen, have you ever criticised about the lack of improvement in terms of facilities at any of the club that you have played for? Mario, what people might know is the facilities at Chelsea when you joined were just terrible, weren't they, at training?
And now, you know what the thing was? I was a young kid just going abroad. So I don't think your first move, like compared to, look, I came from the glory side when I left the arena. The arena was just built, the one that Ajax had, where the roof closes automatically and you open. When it rains, they close it. When it stops raining, we open it back up. Okay, I came from that. But then away, I went to Chelsea. I opened the door. The only good thing of what it was about it was that the experience that I could learn. I was a 21-year-old kid and I opened the door and I see the World Cup winners waiting for me, you know, like Desailly, Frank Leboeuf, Didier Deschamps, You know, all of them sitting in the dressing room. So as I walked in, I think I didn't have time to look at the facilities at that time. But I went to the new one, and the way it looks now, guys, I'm telling you, man. We could both park our bed there and just chill out.
Pablo, you saw quite a change at City as well, obviously.
Oh, massive. I mean, the old Carrington, it was really bad. Believe me, when I first came to Man City, it wasn't good enough. I mean, I remember the jacuzzi was outside of, the locker room. Like, but when I say outside, it was like 10 yards from the dressing room. You needed to go outside to the jacuzzi. And imagine in Manchester, in the middle of December or January, it was so cold. And the jacuzzi was too far from the building. But then, of course, if you look at the facilities now next to the stadium, they spend, I don't know, 250 million, the new CFA, and it looks amazing. But we cannot forget the old good days.
Yeah, there you are. They are the good old days, Ali.
Oh, well, yeah. Old school MLS.
Yeah.
And I happened to be part of old school MLS, and as I was about to retire, things were beginning to improve. But in old school MLS, we did preseason in the parking lot of the Rose Bowl for the LA Galaxy.
Wow.
We used to train in the outfield of a baseball field. Also in front of the Rose Bowl. And by the way, the Rose Bowl is a huge stadium, right? Has hosted World Cup final, has a beautiful grass surface, but we couldn't use it. You know why? Because of UCLA college football team.
Wow.
Yeah. Okay. So the professional team couldn't use the grass field, so we had to go onto the outfield of a baseball stadium. Why? It wasn't even a stadium. It was just a field. With the Philadelphia Union, this is not a long time ago, we're talking about 2010,
right?
We were training in a city park. When I tell you it's a city park, I mean a city park. I've seen people walking around, and we're training in the middle of it, to the point to where my son, who at the time must have been maybe about 6 years old or 7 years old, he was participating in a soccer camp, in a youth soccer camp. We get to the training field, the city park, and we see kids out there training. And I see my wife, and I'm like, what is she doing here? Well, something must have happened. And then I see my kid, actually, part of the soccer camp, training in our field. Well, they had permits for that field. We did not as a professional team. So guess who had to get it back in the van and go back and do fitness training at the gym?
Wow.
The professional team. My kid, who was 6 years old, in a summer soccer camp, he was out there on the field. The professional team could not train that day.
Wow.
Yeah. And that's just a couple of stories of what was and used to be old school MLS. Things have changed, but it used to be like that. And the improvements, when you see them now, the infrastructure, and when you see the growth, that's where the real growth is.
Yeah.
Because as players, we used to experience things that a professional should not be experiencing.
Zabaleta. Wow, that's very informal. Do you prefer the team you played with or the current Manchester City team?
I think that team of 2014, when we won the league, prime Yaya Toure, Edin Dzeko, Aguero, Nasri, Silva, Fernandinho. No, Dzeko wasn't there, it was Negredo. That team, we played some good stuff. I know Man City now is a joy to watch. I think they fly, they're really, really good in the way that Pep made a team playing. It's absolutely fantastic. I wish I was playing for that team, but I would say that for me, the squad that we had at that time was also really good, and I really enjoyed playing with these players. So I'm a big fan of that era of between 2012 and 2014 of Man City.
The nostalgia, you can hear it.
Yes.
You can hear it.
Yes.
Pablo, were you still there when they signed Carl Walker?
No, I just left, and they spent $150 million on two fullbacks, on Walker and Danilo. It cost a lot of money for them to replace Zabaleta.
This guy. This guy.
Brilliant. Oh, man. Yesterday, Xhaka said the top-ranked team not winning the World Cup is subjective because FIFA rankings are nonsense. Will the top-ranked team in Xhaka's power rankings win the World Cup? I don't know who he has.
Why are we basing any sort of decision on Xhaka's power rankings?
No, exactly.
If you trust Xhaka's algorithm, there is something wrong with you.
Oh, you will. Yes.
Don't blame Xhaka for it. Blame yourself. Don't trust Xhaka with his algorithm. He doesn't know what he's doing.
No, exactly. He's doing his special World Cup rankings tomorrow.
Oh, well. Oh. What could possibly go wrong?
Oh, I'm off. What a shame. Final question. Oh, this isn't nice.
Uh-huh.
For Ali, is Dan more or less annoying away from the camera? Why are we including that?
It's not at all. I would say it's the same level. You are who you are on camera, off camera as well.
Yeah, just a lovely guy.
You don't put up a persona in front of the camera.
No,
you have your ups and your downs, your highs and your lows.
Pablo, you've seen me away from the camera. And what would you say to this answer?
Should have said it's true, Dan.
Well, no. Good. Right. Have a lovely. Where's the World Cup again, Pablo? I forget.
Oh my God.
I have to say, Dan, you are a lovely guy. You are a lovely guy in camera, in person. I really enjoy the time with you.
Shut up. Don't start. Group stages will be home. That'll be it. Yes. Home with the kids.
Too late now, Paolo. Too late.
That is it. That brings us to the end of today's show. The countdown continues to the start of the World Cup tomorrow with Xhaka's power rankings. Oh, they're the club rankings. Oh, I thought he was in countries.
So you don't even know, Dan. Oh. I don't want to do your homework, Dan.
Well, I don't know. I don't know when you're doing rankings, do I? It's top of my agenda.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They're the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at LectricEbikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's LECTRIC eBikes.com.